This episode of the Android Central podcast is brought to you by Varis. Varis offers quality premium cases for all smartphones, and they do the same for the brand new Samsung Galaxy S6 and S6 Edge. They've got cases that store credit cards, business cards, and cash, and basically they make your life easier by keeping all your stuff right there with your phone. To get 50% off and free shipping on all those GS6 and GS6 Edge cases, go to amazon.com/Varis, that's V-E-R-U-S, and use the coupon code AndroidC in all capital letters at checkout. Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 232 for Friday, April 17th, 2015. Welcome to the show. I'm Phil Nickinson. I run Android Central with these gentlemen. You see, well, you don't see them below me. I see them down here because that's where they are on my screen. You can't actually see them yet until they talk. Who should we pick first? Russell Holly.
Hello.
Hi. Oh, see, now I talk and then you disappear. As it should be.
Not whoosh. Really.
How goes it?
It's been a good week.
It's been a fun week.
Quiet week, but a fun week.
I don't know about that. Alex Toby, did you have a quiet week?
Yeah. I did not have a quiet week, Phil. We'll talk about why in a few minutes, I guess.
Yes, we will. Cheer, Hildenbrand, how was your week?
It was great. Every week is great. The more Jerry you add to things, the better they get.
Should I splice into this podcast how you were yelling at me this morning, though?
Well, sometimes you need yelled at. I yell because I love you, just like your dad used to.
That's true. Or my kids.
Well, they love you, too.
Yes, see? But they also yell at me often.
Everybody loves Phil.
Oh, I know that's not true. Andrew Martinick.
Hello. I don't have anybody yelling at me currently.
You're like the movie phone guy. You're just like, hello, and welcome to Andrew Martinick.
I was expecting the rest of that Lionel Richie song to come rolling out after that.
I'm
you
not
know it, Andrew.
Try
can
that.
You sing it?
Yes, I do, but I'm not going to.
Do it. Do it.
I don't have a good singing voice, I have to say.
And you don't have a face for it either. Come on, just do it.
Wow, okay.
That was too
probably
easy.
A lot of singers I could imitate, but not Lionel Richie.
Fine. So I kind of wanted to pick up this week where we started 2 weeks ago, actually. Can anyone remember?
You want me to remember from 2 weeks back?
Holy crap, there's a new Star Wars trailer!
Oh.
So you didn't see that coming, did you?
No. I thought it was something that I was going to get in trouble over.
Dude, I'm stoked.
It was good.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I watched it with my kids last night. And look, I'm not the first one to say this, but I'll say it. I got somebody started cutting onions like right as Han and Chewie showed up. Come on, I'm not the only one.
No, I could. I have to like bite my tongue a little bit because I could legitimately spend this entire podcast talking about that trailer.
Well, I'm giving you like 3 minutes.
Well, 3 minutes is not enough because there's little roly robots that I really like and. Wookiees aren't supposed to get gray. Stop bitching. I mean, like, there's a lot.
Well, yeah, my thing was, if Han and Chewie are really home, like, I have a problem with them having a home.
Home was totally the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
How does everybody not get that?
Exactly. I get it.
I'm just glad we have a title for this podcast now. The Gray Wookiee. We'll call it the Gray Wookiee.
The Gray Wookiee.
Wookiees don't, their hair doesn't turn colors.
That means we have to use my picture on it, though, right?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
But only, you need like a macro shot of your beard.
I can't do Wookiee. It ends up coming out like Yoda / Grover, which it should for obvious reasons.
Interesting mashup there that I don't think has been thought through.
What, Grover and Yoda?
Yeah, that's a weird character.
Oh, why is
what
that weird?
What color would that even be?
Grota.
Grota?
Grota.
Why is that weird, Andrew?
You're crossing the streams there.
Well, but not really.
Because they're both puppets.
Did Frank Oz not do them both?
Yes.
Yes, he did, or yes, he didn't?
Yes, he did.
See? I was like, oh, God, I hope he did, because otherwise I'm going to get email, like, now.
If you shut the video off, they sound exactly alike.
Right. I mean, it's Frank Oz. So, anyway. Yeah, I'm pretty stoked. So,
Big Bird, there is no try.
You know they're going to... I haven't watched Sesame Street in a while. My kids are too old for that now. But they're not really, I guess. Izzy should watch it. Anyway, I just wanted to say that because I'm pretty stoked about it. Alex, what are you stoked about this week?
Well, I guess we can talk about one of the two things I'm partially stoked about this week.
I want to start off with... Right there for everybody watching the video.
I was trying to figure out which phone you wanted me to talk about. I guess we'll pick up with the LG G4, which we had a pretty big leak of in the past 7 days. I think it was over the weekend.
All right, wait, hang on. Do you honestly think this was a leak?
No. Well, I mean, it was a leak, but...
Well, there are leaks, and then there
who's doing the leaking is debatable.
So back up and explain to the fine folks at home what it is we saw and where it came from and blah, blah, blah.
On the day after the M9 and the S6 appeared, we just happened to get a rather large leak of the LG G4, which we're not expecting to see officially until the end of the month, although I guess LG's already shown it in a promotional image since then, so make of that what you will. But this basically appeared, I think it was EV Leaks that first spotted it. It was a Korean staging site, it looked like, that was... sort of half done. You had a lot of promotional images on there, a lot of promotional spiel about features and stuff. An incomplete spec sheet, so we don't know much about that yet. It seems like they've pasted G3 specs in there, but we did get a good look at the phone, a good look at some of the leather-based construction they're looking at, leather backs. We confirmed wireless charging, 3,000 mAh removable battery, which are big things that people are looking forward to, especially since the GS6 ditched that. So what we're really looking at is similar stuff to last year, except just upgrades all around. You have I think they're calling it an IPS quantum display now, using quantum dot technology. There's a whole section on that in our smartphone futurology thing that we did that explains how that works. Basically, it's emits more light, is more power efficient than the last QHD screen that LG had. It's still 5.5 inches, still 1440p. A little bit bigger, a little bit wider than the G3, but not a whole lot larger overall. And from the construction side, the most interesting thing is it seems to be plastic on the sides, fair enough plastic frame. But around the back, you have either a traditional plastic back or all these crazy colored leather backs that you can choose from.
And they're all removable, even the leather ones.
Sure, so potentially what you could do is pick up a cheaper plastic version, then replace it with leather, or buy a bunch of different leathers, have a different color of leather for every day of the week.
Who doesn't, really?
Well.
For a little more context, the URL for this website that it was hosted on was apparently originally found in one of the other teasers LG had done. I'm not sure how deep. I didn't actually go look, and it has since been removed. So I mean, we were kind of not sure if it was like an actual staging site or if somebody had basically stolen it and hosted it somewhere else or what. So there was that.
Yeah, I mean, it looks legit, whether it's been ripped or whether it's something that LG was hosting elsewhere for whatever reason. So the upside of that is we now know an awful lot about what we're expecting from the LG G4. We know about the screen, we know about the battery, we know it's going to have a bunch of stuff just feature-wise that the GS6 doesn't, and it's going to have a big battery as well. A lot of interesting stuff going on with the camera, too. We have a 16-megapixel camera on the back of this thing, and OIS, obviously. A whole lot of new stuff in the camera app, though. We have a full manual mode that they were revealing on this site, and RAW support as well, because that's part of Lollipop. But it looks like they're getting a lot more serious about having a basic camera app for people who want that basic stuff, but also giving people the ability to drill down and change things like ISO, white balance, and just have a bunch of stuff that if you want to get the most out of what is presumably going to be quite a high-end sensor, then you can go ahead and do that.
Good. LG always did really, really well on the let's make it easy point and shoot and produce a decent picture side. I'm curious what they can do with giving you access to everything the camera can do.
Yeah, I mean, they've shown off a lot, right? They've given us stuff on the display. They've given us stuff on the camera. Don't forget the UI. They've previewed that already.
For sure, that was done officially.
Right.
We kind of have the preview of the LG UX for whatever it is. It looks a lot like what they had before. They've tweaked a few stuff. It's a little bit more materially now, it looks like. But we'll have to wait and see how that compares just in terms of performance to what we've had from LG before, because if you remember, early LG builds on a new device had a tendency to be a bit laggy. Hopefully that won't be the case this time around. If they can get the performance right first time, that'll be a big deal, I think.
Just put a link to the Google Now launcher right in the home screen.
Even that's not going to solve all my problems, though. You guys know what I was just writing.
Yep.
Mm.
The G3, we'll put a post up eventually. I think we've talked about it. The G3 doesn't work with Android Auto, by the way. Just because, and Jerry, I don't know the like exact technical stuff. Like when you plug a phone into a computer, it does any number of things, right? Some of them do nothing. Some of them give you these weird options. Samsung gives you, you know, a camera option and an MTP option. LG does it differently. So it's kind of been a mess. Samsung and LG phones are not currently playing nice with it. Anyway.
LG's not to go off like, on that. Hey, let's install some PC software.
No, let's not. early adopter's curse. I'm excited for it. I want, you know, as much as I like the GS6, and I like it a lot, you know, especially that camera, I don't know, I've always had a soft spot in my heart for LG, even though the software just makes me want to throw the phone against a wall still.
I mean, my thing is, the two big flagships we've had so far have had at least one pretty major compromise each. With the M9, it's the camera. With the S6, it's the battery life. And if LG can do what they did last year with the G3, which is bring something which is just really good overall and not bad at anything, which was that was the big thing about the G3. It wasn't bad at anything at all. If they can do that again this time around, and if they have added stuff like external storage, removable battery that appeals to a certain kind of user, then that is going to be something worth getting excited about, I think.
I mean, especially with that change in the GS6, right? Just suddenly anyone who has a removable battery and or external storage, I mean, that's a huge leg up.
Yeah, like I said in our preview, it's essentially Samsung has gifted LG a differentiator here. LG just needs to keep doing what it's doing, and that is an automatic, you know, something they can slap in an ad or something saying, hey, look, we have removable storage, we have a removable battery, and Samsung doesn't.
I would love to see an LG ad with a bunch of people with an S6 plugged into the wall, calling them wall hookers.
Exactly.
That would be amazing.
It practically writes itself.
In some ways, though, Samsung just steals from itself because it just has the Note line that has those things.
Yeah.
And
well,
and
for now.
A screen that's a little bit larger than what the G4 is going to have.
The Note line has those things for now, Andrew. We don't know whether it'll...
Right, what direction well, it's going to have them for the first 6 months that the G4 is available, so.
I'm calling it now. I think the Note 5, if there is one, will keep those things.
Yes.
I think it will, too.
At least for this year. If they plan on taking that away, they're going to have to spend a lot of time thinking about how to do that.
See, I'm not sure the new Samsung would think a lot about that. I think they'd probably just go for... No, I mean, it's not good or bad. It's just different, right?
Yeah.
I think they would go for the more attractive device, the thinner, lighter, slimmer device, because it's quite big. They could probably stick a decent-sized battery in there. Most people wouldn't mind. But I think the new Samsung would rather do that than cater to, you know, and just have people upgrade through sheer force of advertising than cater to people who want removable battery, removable storage.
Well,
I think that this is just a new direction for them.
128-gigabyte. Model Note 5 with a 3400 milliamp hour battery on it would be something that I would be fine with.
Exactly, yeah, and I think a lot of people would be.
Well, I think they might win over some people, but I just think that with the direction they're going with the S6, it kind of gives them the freedom to say, okay, if you're going to complain about not having a few of those features in the S6, here they are in the Note 4. I don't think they necessarily have to have the Note 4 in there.
Well, they could go
as follow in lockstep with each other.
Well, you assume they're not going to go and say, "Here is a like a 4 millimeter thin Note 5 with the same battery. Good luck with your wireless charge."
Hey, at least they can't go that thin and fit a S10, so
you know, that's true. Yeah, that is true.
A little off topic, but I think it's worth repeating with the GS6. Even wireless charging has kind of been a crapshoot.
Really? It always is, right? Because as much as it is standard, it depends on how the coils line up, and
I haven't used anything that's been this finicky.
Oh, that's funny because I have not found a charger that doesn't work with it. I know that.
If you got one that works, awesome. Maybe
you've had one that doesn't work so far, but Phil? I haven't found one that. I mean, the GS6 has issues with wireless charging only well, mostly because it's a flat glass back that doesn't like to stay on phones, on chargers, and it moves around. And wireless charging is a little finicky on placement. It's just
that's what I was. I was going to say, Phil, the next time you're monkeying around with it, see if you've got that air hockey thing going on.
I'm pretty sure I haven't. It's looked really stable to me. So I'll keep messing with it some, but I've had one charger that just didn't work at all. Somebody else said the Nexus 4 charger, if you remember that guy. Or was it the Nexus 5? What was the little one? That was the Nexus 4
charger. Was the pile of garbage.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's just been weird. I've never had, you know, I've used a lot of wireless charging devices, and I've never had one.
The most upsetting part of it for me is that the new Samsung Qi charger doesn't work well with the Galaxy S6. Like, the least they can do to overcome these issues with, you know, differences in the charger styling and the way it grips the phone is release one yourself that works perfectly with your phone, and it doesn't, because the phone slides off of it. So that's one place where I think that they could have improved that, especially since they were giving them away with Best Buy orders. You know, they're putting thousands and thousands of these things out there and saying, hey, look at wireless charging, and then it doesn't work right. You need to go buy a $45 one from Tilt that works better.
I wouldn't want to look great.
I'm going to make a wireless charger.
I'm going to put on it. IKEA was putting prices out on its wireless chargers this week.
Yeah, I think they're actually pretty well priced, too.
It's been a long time since I bought a multi-charger one. I've got this ancient, I think it's Energizer, back behind me. But IKEA has a three-banger that excites me a little bit.
So $65 for a three-spot charger.
It's not cheap, but
looks better than the Energizer ones. At least this looks a little more like it belongs in a home and not, you know, a factory assembly line or
something. And then it has some that are built in, like, nightstands and in a couple different lamps. I mean, so you got options.
Yeah, just look at a table or a lamp, you know, that you would get from IKEA or something similar like that. Add $20 or $30 to it, and now you have a wireless charger built into it.
And a wire hanging out the back, presumably.
Well, I mean, there's always a wire hanging somewhere.
You plug in your lamp at least already, so
that's true too.
Yeah. That's just the one that I like. It's a stand-up lamp that has a table built in halfway up the lamp, and it's got a charger on it, so
the rest of my stuff isn't that nice yet because I still have kids. Parents out there know what I'm talking about. Alex, what else did you do that was exciting this week?
Yeah, so Rich and I were in London on Wednesday for the launch of this guy, the Huawei P8. I almost said Ascend P8. It's not Ascend anymore. It's just a P8. And it's actually a mix of really nice hardware and very odd Huawei software. So like they tend to do, they've had, you know, their own proprietary chip inside here. A lot of interesting new camera stuff. Really, really nice build quality. I think this is... as much as you might say it looks like an iPhone 5 or whatever in renders, the in-hand feel is quite different. And it is, I think, as well-built and as nice to hold as any Android phone that we have right now. The sort of catch there is that the software is very different and not quite as googly or as familiar as, say, your latest Galaxy S or HTC One or whatever. The software is, I guess... owned to Huawei's roots as a Chinese company, the software was designed first for the Chinese market, and of course you have Google stuff layered on top of that. But the experience is very different. You have a lot of iOS influence in there. And because I guess this is early firmware, there's some stuff that just doesn't quite work right yet. So it's kind of a continuation of what we saw last year from Huawei with really, really nice software with good performance. Really, really nice hardware, good performance, but just the software that kind of is a bit weird and not up to where we'd want it to be just yet.
There is a version coming to the US.
There is. It'll be a more affordable version, I think.
Which has kind of been Huawei's play in the US.
Yeah, kind of. I mean,
more affordable.
That's true. They also said this version I have here is the global version, which has like... I think 13 or 14 bands of LTE, including all the main US, T-Mobile US and AT&T.
They know how to do LTE. That's
It has like 12 regular FDD bands and one TDD band for China. So you can use it in a lot of different places. But if you know, the upside of that is you can import this if you don't want the cheaper version, and it'll work just fine on both the GSM carriers.
We don't really delve too much into this, but should we look at Nokia buying Alcatel-Lucent? Is that just totally separate from everything else you're talking about?
That's a networking services company.
Yeah,
it's a networking services
company. It's got nothing to do with Alcatel OneTouch, which is a brand of another company called TCL, which at one point was a joint venture with Alcatel-Lucent and TCL before they bought it out, and it has nothing to do with the Alcatel that makes Android phones, this new...
And this Nokia is not the Nokia that Microsoft bought.
It isn't. It's all a bit confusing, but basically the agreement that happened this week has everything to do with networking technology infrastructure and very little to do with actually making smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
That last sentence is the only one that made any sense to me, by the way.
Okay. We're doing well, then.
Those I just wanted things, to throw that in there in our Chinese discussion.
Those big things with blinky lights that is the telephone company has?
Yes.
That's what we're talking about, Phil.
I know. Just saying. So, I mean, is this a good phone? Is this something, even in whatever form it comes here, is this something
we should keep an eye on? I can't talk about, we don't know what the compromises are going to be in the cheaper US version. This here is a very nice phone that is kind of hampered by some quite strange software. Some of it is bugs, which I hope will be fixed before the retail availability happens. If the bugs are fixed, I could quite happily use this phone. Some of the issues we've had have had to do with Gmail, with duplicate notifications coming in, with Android Wear just not working at all. If they can get those main bugs fixed, then they would have a good phone in their hands that for, I think, £400 or so, which is the asking price in Europe, would be a decent buy. But you still have the situation where Huawei is doing a lot right in terms of the hardware, but the software just isn't quite there yet. They're not, I think, in my opinion, they're not paying enough attention to the Western market on the software front. They're basically just shipping what they're doing, the same stuff as they have in China, but with GMS layered on top of it, and it just doesn't quite work. I think if they can get something a bit more localized and a bit more googly, for want of a better word, for Europe and other places, then they'll be in a good spot.
Well, they have an example to look at, too. LG was the same way the first year, if you remember. Their software was really popular in Asia, but when they released the phones here in the United States, it was a little quirky and people didn't like it. They didn't like, match the animals in the zoo game in your notification bar. So they changed it, and I think they've had pretty successful results after changing it.
Yeah, and I was talking about this with Richard before. The frustrating thing is that the hardware is really, really, really good. It isn't a case if you have weird hardware and weird software, and it's just kind of a device that doesn't really belong outside of Asia or whatever. This is really top-level hardware, and the frustrating thing is you have then software that lets the experience down. Huawei could have they could make some of the best phones out there if they just paid attention to some of the software and things that need to change to make it a better experience for people outside of China.
Who's the next company you think to really, we see, you don't want to call them lesser companies or other companies because they're really big outside the US. You've got Samsung, HTC, Motorola, and LG who are doing really well here in the US. Who's the next one to really break through, you think, and not just make something really good, but something really good that people here want in a way that they want it?
Honestly, I think the biggest, there are a lot of Chinese manufacturers that make good hardware and that either aren't interested in the US market in a big way or, that just isn't on their radar just yet. I still think Huawei is probably the most likely company to fill that role. As much as there's history there with, issues they had a few years back with suggestions that there might be a national security threat there. I still think Huawei is the most likely candidate to come in there. They're selling stuff off contract now. They're talking to partners and stuff. I think give it a couple of years when they have those issues worked out, and maybe they could be a growing presence in the US as well.
I think we're going to be surprised by the next generation of the Qualcomm reference devices too. I think that's going to be because we're going to be seeing some pretty interesting software changes there. I think that that whole next wave, which are basically going to be Cyanogen devices, instead of the really terrible, you know, Qualcomm Chinese hybrid software that we see with a lot of these reference devices. Because that's what happens when you have like a, like when Blue releases a phone that isn't like a custom hardware design or something like that. We end up seeing, you know, it's a reference kit that was purchased white box from Qualcomm, you know, with their own optimizations thrown in. So I think that's going to be something we're gonna see affect software as well.
You think that's going to be like the next cool nerd phone?
No, probably not. But I think that the existence of, you know, a certain number of devices running that software is going to have a larger scale effect on how some of these other software groups start treating U.S. releases, like some of these other Chinese companies and Indian companies and Asian companies start treating releases.
I don't think it's going to matter. I don't think we're going to see any deviation from Apple, Samsung, and now LG for the next 5 years. Unfortunately, I wish, but I don't see any market position changing hands.
The U.S. carrier system is hard to deal with. We know this because, you know, just the difficulty a company as large as Sony has had in the past 2 years. But if there is a way to break in there and, you know, with the whole subsidy system potentially shifting out in the U.S. market, companies like OnePlus maybe getting in there and Huawei as well, that could be the in to the U.S. market that we're not seeing right now through the carrier system.
I wish them luck. That would be great. That's what we need in this country, but my dad used to say something about wishing in your hand.
Oh, boy. I used to have bosses. Whenever one of us would say anything like that, they'd just go, they just shake their head. Well, and you knew it was good when, like, the less sound you heard, you knew it was a good one. It's a very silent head shake for me at that. Oh, boy. Hey, Galaxy S6 talk. There was this update to a Samsung Push app yesterday. If you've never seen this, it's one of those... It's weird because half of Samsung's apps are being updated through Google Play and half are coming from Samsung's own app store, and I've never quite figured that out, but whatever. This one came from Google.
Depending on the model of phone. Some phones have SL through the Play Store, some have it through Galaxy Apps. Yeah.
Anyway.
It's not confusing at all.
Well, the only reason it matters is because I was going to tell you to go look at the comments or look at the reviews on the app in Google Play if you haven't seen them before. It's one of those weird random apps that nobody knew what it did, so everybody just left the craziest things they could think of. Anyway, only thing I really cared about was the changelog in the Samsung Push app, which you know, helps with Samsung's notifications. Why they need a whole separate framework for that, I don't know.
And why something like that updates through Google Play when they're clearly happy to update things in the background through Galaxy apps.
But the point was the changelog said it was supposed to cut down on data usage and battery consumption. And on the GS6, that is a very real concern. I think, and it's still a little anecdotal for me, so, you know, grain of salt here a little bit, and I'm on day one, but I think it's helped. I think. I want to hope it's helped. I really hope this helped. Andrew, you seen anything? Well, you've been playing around with other phones this week.
I've been using the M9 primarily just to get a better feel for it because I use the S6 so much. So I haven't, you know, that's one of those things where if it helps that battery life 5-10%, you're only going to notice it if you go back to using the phone full time and it doesn't spend long periods of time sitting on the desk doing nothing. GS6 battery life's great if you just let it sit on your desk and never touch it, obviously.
Well, don't let it do that.
Well, I'm using
it's even devices, better if it sits on a wireless charger.
Yeah,
even better, yeah. But I will go back to it because I got that update. I also got the update on my Note 4 and the Galaxy S5, so that update to the push services wasn't just on the GS6.
Right. Bunch of Samsung phones.
Right.
GS5, Note 3, I think I saw got it. So yeah, I mean, it's could well be placebo.
If it is something that they do just by updating that service through Google Play rather than pushing a full firmware update, I'm all for it. That's awesome. I don't think it kind of unfortunately gives people a little bit of false hope, thinking that their battery life is just going to, you know, increase to 17, 18 hours all of a sudden.
No.
You know, in the future with future updates or something, Samsung's just not going to be able to get. If they could have gotten more out of this battery, they would have done it.
It's not a huge battery.
I mean, in the initial releases.
Yeah, capacity is what it is. And nothing's going to change that.
And as far as software bugs, this is what it was like being a Nexus beta tester. Now that they want to get it out the door as fast as they can, welcome to the beta tester world, Samsung users. Maybe it wasn't so bad waiting an extra 6 months for that update. That you have to consider that side.
But the camera.
Hey, you know, they could have released the S6 on KitKat, and everybody would have went insane, but it's quite possible that it wouldn't have some of these big bugs.
They couldn't have. Can't.
Right. I mean, I meant physically they could have. They would never have done it.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't want people to get their hopes up too much buying a phone thinking that the, as we always say, buy it for what it is, not for what you assume it could be with future releases. I mean, we saw phones get, you know, right around release time, get 180 megabyte update that, you know, apparently changed quite a few things and smoothed out performance a little bit. But, you know, you can't be expecting 200 megabyte OTAs to be hitting your phone every 3 or 4 weeks, you know, bringing new features and things.
Nor would you want that.
No.
It's just not going to happen.
And we don't know what exactly Samsung sees when they look at Google's code, but you have to remember Google's still ironing out issues with the Lollipop code base itself. And Samsung can only take what Google has and build on it. And if there's a bug in the underlying system, it's going to, you know, work its way forward. So you'll probably see another update that's still Lollipop sometime in the life of your phone, and hopefully it makes things better with regards to any bugs in it.
The one other big headache I'm having, and Andrew's been trying to talk me off the ledge, is this lock screen.
Yeah.
Something's like it's either just not doing what I expect it to.
So I think the issue is Phil using Smart Lock and also the fingerprint scanner in conjunction, and Samsung's lock screen like doesn't indicate what it wants to do or wants you to do at any given time. So if you had a Nexus 6 connected to a Moto 360 and you use Smart Lock, there's just a lock at the bottom that's padlock that's unlocked, and you can tap it and you can lock the phone, so you have to use a passcode to get back into it. Samsung's implementation is like, you don't know whether or not you just tried to unlock the phone, whether you tried to lock it so Smart Lock can unlock it. You don't know what state the lock screen is in at any given time. And I agree, it's really bad design, but I'm not willing to see the point that it's broken.
Like, I feel like if I...
Phil's a little more on the other side of things.
If I hit the power button, it should just wake up if Smart Lock is on. I shouldn't, like, hit the power button, or, you know, the power button or the home button. I shouldn't do that and then still have to unlock it at all?
See, that's exactly the behavior I want.
But then it's not smart locked. It's just locked.
Well, it still has a locked screen. Smart Lock is removing the need for a passcode or a PIN. It's not removing the need to have a locked screen.
And I'm starting to go a little crazy and think, did the Moto X work that way? Have I just forgotten? It's entirely possible.
Have to remember that the Moto X had a separate layer with the notification panel, or with its special Moto X notification panel.
The way that I want it to work is to just remove the necessity to enter a PIN, passcode, whatever, and just let me swipe to unlock, because I don't want the phone... You know, tap the power button, and all of a sudden you're moving around icons in your pocket. You know, on but the home.
That's, yeah, I mean, that's what the button's for. That's what I.
It doesn't work consistently with other phones necessarily. And even if it did work the way that you're describing, the lock screen would still be a nightmare. Because as soon as you disconnected from something, now you have this weird situation where it doesn't indicate that you need to put your finger on the home button for fingerprint. It doesn't indicate how to get into notifications. It shows them to you, but won't let you act on them. And it's just
not good.
It's not very well laid out.
And look, I mean, it's kind of one in a growing list. If you haven't seen the little feature piece I did on easy mode, which, by the way, took us 2 days to figure out.
Two people in 2 days to figure out
how easy the easy mode is. I don't know what these toggles do. They don't appear to do anything, and Andrew finally figured it. There are two versions of a number of apps: camera, messages, internet, email,
dialer,
some of the other ones. I forget what, calendar. And they've either rearranged them, like they'll remove the floating action button and make it a bigger touch bar to do things or whatever.
Just make buttons bigger and square instead of small and round.
Yeah, and they take out some of the options on things, so like the camera is even more simple, and I think the camera's pretty good for starters.
It's very simple.
But yeah, so it's there's a lot more to this easy mode than I've seen on any other phone.
It really looks like it's laid out for, you go over to grandma's house and you set up her phone in easy mode, because there's no way somebody that needs easy mode would be able to figure that out on their own. And it's really confusing, especially if they ever used the phone in regular mode before, because now all these apps work completely different.
Well, not completely different, but there's nothing to tell you when you're turning easy mode on that there are going to be different versions of these apps.
Right. It just says, you launch the app and there's no tooltip or anything. It's just the app is different now.
I mean, I'm a reasonably smart guy occasionally, and I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
So. That's all I had.
That's Phil's GS6 gripe of the week.
My GS6 update. Look, I'm still loving the camera. I love using another phone that the camera. I mean, Alex, you're still bumping around in the M9 a little bit. Andrew, you've got one there.
I'm getting frustrated by the M9's camera.
It's an easier phone to hold. Give it that. It still feels really good when I pick it up, but to me anyway. But yeah. I think Sense is going to be due for a revamp next time too. Pretty big one.
Needs to get pulled back a little bit.
It feels dated now. There's something about all the square and it's. I mean, I'm not all material YOLO like the kids be, but. What, Jerry?
I'm just loving my little Z3 compact, powering the whole neighborhood with the battery, taking great pictures.
I tried.
I get your point on Sense. It's not as immediately like assaulting your eyes with neon crazy colors and funky stuff and useless animations, but it is still a little. It just feels a little old.
Yeah.
There's the different layers and the drop shadows and how they use bright color sometimes is still feeling a little 2013-y, a little ice cream sandwichy.
I think the micro sort of example of that is, well, here's a clock widget. It's the same clock widget as last time, except it's in italics now.
Really italicized. Yeah.
Don't get me started on the italics. Just, yeah.
And Phil's been trying out the themes to try to fix some of these issues. What do you think about?
I think I really like the theme engine and community they've got going there. I think it's really well done. I get the point of wanting to be able to apply themes or parts of themes individually, but I also understand the argument why you wouldn't want that.
I mean, it can get confusing really quickly if you have that, but I think that there is a way to engineer around that. I mean, MIUI has figured this out pretty well, where you just select a theme and then they're just check boxes. Do you want the font from this? Do you want the icons from this? That's kind of the problem is I may like that background and the sound package and the fonts, but don't change all my icons to, deep blue kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's something that we were talking about the Huawei skin before. That's something that they have a lot of themes, but generally most of the themes just love to stick rounded corners and on all your icons, and if there's any transparency there, then it sticks a colored background on them as well. And for the vast majority of app icons that you would put on your phone that aren't the preloaded apps, it just looks horrible.
The AC app looks really weird.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think that's a better solution than what Samsung does, which is just, hey, our app icons look great. stick one of Google's in there and suddenly everything looks weird.
Yeah, I mean, still waiting for the other shoe to drop on people to be able to put community themes into the Samsung theme store too, which might change that a little bit. I mean, it doesn't help that right now all the ones are like dramatically different than the default theme. If they had some more subtle, simple themes or community-driven themes, that would probably help a little bit. I'm glad that the support is there and the system is designed to be themed. It would just be nice if somebody, you know, put a little more thought into that.
You can be switching between Hello Kitty and Avengers for the next 2 months, Andrew.
Yeah. Avengers, fonts, and then, you know, Hello Kitty app drawer or something like that.
I am going to imagine that Samsung has built in the ability to provide icons for apps you download from the Play Store, too. If you install something like Nova Launcher and then you put an icon pack on top of it, you know, if you have Tumblr installed, you'll have a custom icon for Tumblr. If you don't, when you install Tumblr, you'll have a custom icon for Tumblr.
Sure.
That's fairly easy to do, and I'd be very surprised if Samsung doesn't have that in there when they let third-party people start making.
Well, they got to be doing something with that gigantic system partition they're working with. I hope, yeah. I hope it's a functioning theme engine.
Should we get into the Q&A? We've been ignoring you guys over there. I'm sorry.
Not ignoring, just archiving.
I'm going to start at the bottom. Oh, yeah, actually, we need to talk about this. Ryan Saldana, our old pal. Let's know, what's next for Cyanogen and Microsoft? Could we eventually see Microsoft release a Lumia running Cyanogen OS with all Microsoft services?
No.
If you missed it this week.
They can't use the Lumia name anymore.
So. Yeah. If you missed it this week, there was a press release basically saying they're going to bundle some Microsoft apps and services in with... Russell, was it all of Cyanogen OS, or is it just going to be in specific instances, or...
So it's going to be Cyanogen OS, and it's going to be something where you're prompted, much in the same way that you are prompted to log into Google services, you will be prompted to download Microsoft services.
That's horrible. Burn it all.
The absolute worst. They're basically terrorists. I mean,
how dare they offer me something
I might use that a lot of people use and is popular, even
you
though...
You know what was really funny was I was expecting a ton of hate, and even like in the comments on the page and or in the comments on the post and then in the comments on G+, tons of people are big fans of OneDrive and were like, man, if I could get better OneDrive integration, that would be amazing. A couple people, myself included, I dig Microsoft Cortana on Windows Phone. If that came to Android, it would like seriously give Google Now a run for its money as far as I'm concerned. So it was interesting. I expected a ton of hate, and there was a fair bit of it. But there are a bunch of people out there who dig Microsoft's individual apps right now.
And a lot of the apps are really good. When I got Gmail on this P8, and Gmail did not work properly on this P8, I gave Outlook a try on Android, and that is really, really nicely done. It's a really nice blend of the Google design language and the Microsoft design language, and it's a fantastic email app.
You know, this would have been a great opportunity for somebody to figure out a thing. You know, during setup, you say yes or you say no. And if you say yes, those apps are pulled out of a persistent backup partition and installed. If you say no, they aren't installed at all. You know, that's kind of, I wish we would have seen, I understand why we didn't.
How they implemented it. Right. Like, they haven't really discussed that yet. And honestly, I mean, it's a platform being written by people who hate bloatware as much as we do, yep, by and large. So it really wouldn't surprise me if we see something like that.
But that's where I see potential. If that can ever happen, this is the group of people that can make that happen.
And, you know, there's still plenty of value in it for Microsoft, even if they do it that way. I mean, because then they're part of the setup process or right after or whatever. It still puts their stuff front and center to people that... Maybe, you know, not everybody goes into the Play Store the minute they get an Android phone and search for Microsoft apps. It's like not at the top of their mind. So if they can put it right there and say, hey, you have the choice to install it, that's a big step ahead from what Microsoft has now, which is you have to go looking for them.
But you tell people you can sign in with the same account you use on your computer at home. Do you want to do that? Most people are going to say, well, yeah, and click yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the negative reaction and the confusion, I guess, if you want to call it that, about the whole Microsoft deal has to have come about as a result of certain executive quotes that were doing the rounds about a month ago.
Totally.
When you have people high up at Cyanogen saying that they want to put a bullet in Google's head, and then suddenly you have rumors of investment by Microsoft. Okay, that didn't happen, but now you have an app deal. And when people see these string of stories coming together, then the natural reaction is to assume it's this big conspiracy to kill Google to make Android and Microsoft centric OS.
I just think, and I think people jumped a little bit on the press release uses the word integrate a lot about integrating services, and it's that's scary to some people because they think that means that's going to be baked in and they're going to have no choice.
I integrated some tacos this afternoon.
Right. So they could have maybe choose their words a little bit better, but again,
Microsoft has earned a fair bit of distrust and mistaste when it comes to Android. I mean, their individual apps have gotten really good as of late, but Microsoft as a company, when it comes to Android, there is a general negative stigma, and it is deserved. I mean, when it comes to
a lot of people who bought the Verizon Fascinate back in the day.
Yeah.
It was the Fascinate, right? There were like six names for that damn phone. And I mean, that was not a good time in the life of Android. And by the way, we do need to, give the usual disclaimer that we're talking Cyanogen OS. This is not Cyanogen mod. And these are two very different things. Sort of. They're different.
No, they're very different things. That's a good way to say that.
They just have the same name-ish. And share some people-ish.
Well, they're different just like Android is different from Android.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Except for both of these use Android.
And both of those use Cyanogen.
No, that's what I meant. Both of the Cyanogens use Android, but not that Android. The other Android.
Right, the other Android. Yeah. Not that kind of... Yeah.
Exactly. So, good question. Jeff. I heard this rumor the other day. Is there any truth that the CDMA versions of the Galaxy S6 have a Snapdragon processor in them? If so, is it the A10?
That's why all those boxes caught on fire.
I get why. I actually, when I opened the S6 Edge earlier today, I know why it is that rumor exists. There is a sticker on the top of the S6 Edge.
Oh, no.
That is Qualcomm 4G. Right next to the IR sensor.
Why does it say that, Russell?
Because Qualcomm, on top of being a processor manufacturer, does radio things for internets and music and how you make phone calls. And there's a reasonable chance that Samsung just said, hey, radios are hard. Let's license this technology from Qualcomm, as well as, say...
And Qualcomm said, anytime you use this, we want a stupid sticker on the top of your phone.
And anybody that used the Galaxy Nexus should be very, very glad if what Russell says is true.
Yeah.
So, there's that.
That's really funny. I saw that sticker as soon as it came out of the box, and I laughed really hard because I knew someone was gonna confuse that.
I'd like to thank Jeff for coming up with a post idea for Russell to do.
Yeah. I lost the sticker.
You just showed us the sticker.
Well, Mitch, unless you grabbed a screenshot, you're in trouble.
Mitch says somebody used the Q word. What was the Q word?
Q word?
Q word. I don't know.
Qualcomm?
Oh, I guess so.
Okay. I don't know
the main keyword.
Qualcomm also makes the modem that's in the iPhone, so it doesn't really matter. It's just another component inside.
Licensing is hard.
Yeah.
Let's see. Any news on 5.1 for the Galaxy S6? Nope.
Bah.
And I know I was seeing posts today that 5.1.1 is coming imminently, anytime now, this week, soon, in days. We have no idea, really. We're just saying it. I'm running out of breath.
It's 0.0.1 better, Phil.
It is.
Yeah.
If I were to take a guess, I would say 5.1 was for the Nexus 5 and Nexus 6. For Samsung, we'll see 5.1.1.
5.1.1 is supposed to be, according to the commits, and Jerry can probably back me up because I'm sure that he's read the same ones, are all about 64-bit support. Uh-huh. Better better 64-bit things. And the reason that we see people talking about it coming to the Nexus 9 is because the Nexus 9 has a 64-bit processor.
Yep. And if you do not get mad at Samsung for not using 5.1 when they knew this was coming. That's just too much money. You don't want them to waste money and the Galaxy S7 be $1,200 instead of $7.
And look, by the time 5.1 was even available, the firmware for the GSX would have been finalized anyway.
Oh, sure.
We need to quit looking at numbers as being linear.
Well, even that's... They
are in some respect, but...
But ever since the second Nexus phone, you don't have the same version number on any phones at all anymore. That's just... those versions are specific for a certain type of hardware.
I think... Apparently the keyword was quiet.
Quiet.
Ooh. I prefer the keyword being Qualcomm.
I'm so lost. Oh, man. Yeah, somebody was trying to tell me, like, I was lying about all this M9 stuff, and it's like, what? No. I thought Alex explained it perfectly. There are different regional version numbers. It's pretty simple.
Oh, yeah, Phil's not lying. I saw it, too.
Sitting there in my email.
My favorite was when they tried to plead with you and like, well, could you just try and install the update and see if it's better?
Well, look, no, I get people asking the question, but that's also not how it works.
But then no, I asking the question is important. It was the negotiating afterwards.
And look, because Alex is the one who will, well, it's like Sunday morning my time, but Alex is like, all right, I'm flat. I'm changing the region on my phone and I'm flashing this and this and this, whatever. We can't really do that on the US version. It's quite the same. You can sometimes
Yeah. It's actually really easy to change US M8 into a Google Play edition because it's literally the same hardware. And if you have, if you disable the security, then it's just, you know, you flash a different image to it, and it's mostly just the same as doing it to a Nexus.
I mean, we talked about this before. I just have very little desire or need to crack into my phone like that anymore. I think they've gotten pretty good.
I would agree. The only time I've ever done it, I think in the past 2 years, to you know, cracking into phones or whatever, is to change a regular edition into a Google Play edition.
You do it because you can't leave good enough alone.
No, that's seriously the only time that, well, I guess into update to something that is more recent than, you know, because Samsung is weird in Europe. They have, you know, a random country will get an update first, and it's pretty easy to change countries. Because the hardware is all the same. That's something you just deal with when you have unlocked phones that have different regions. You just kind of switch between regions pretty easily.
Let's see what else. Ben wants to know, what are you looking forward to most at Google I.O.? Thoughts on the MVNO thing, this Project Fee?
They have this local San Francisco company that bottles orange juice that's just freaking delicious that they have in their coolers. That's what I'm most looking forward to from I.O.
I was going to hope it was going to be, you know, seeing me, but orange juice is good.
You guys can...
I will share an orange juice with Sharon.
Oh, thanks.
But no, seriously, what do you think, Phil? You were about to talk, and I was going to interrupt you.
Yeah, I mentioned this. I can't remember if I mentioned this in the podcast before. I mean, I could see the basic building blocks of an MVNO and how it would work pretty cool. I tell you what I really kind of want is this little box, just this little device that somebody charges me 10, 15 bucks a month for or whatever, and it plugs into my Android Auto in the car, and that's the data connection. Or it serves up a tablet wherever I happen to be, and that's that connection. No display, or, you know, just like a little MiFi, basically, I guess.
And you know, Verizon does that exact thing.
Yeah, you just described a MiFi.
That exists currently.
Yeah.
You can plug it into the ODB2 port in your car, and it just generates a hotspot.
But I don't want I don't want the carriers involved, I guess.
Yeah.
It's the big, by the way, screw you guys for that one.
No, I knew where you were going.
But carriers are involved at some level.
No, Phil wants an Android-powered, Google-backed MiFi that you stick your SIM card in, and your carrier does nothing except bill you every month.
Yeah, I don't want the carriers involved at all.
You just don't want the current carrier's business practices involved. or BS involved. I mean, I'm not sure you still have to connect to their network, and
somebody does at some point.
At some level, they dictate to whoever is selling you this box.
Like, I want a little. Their network. I just want a little thing that I can just leave sitting in my car, and it turns on when the car turns on, and it turns off when the car. Not necessarily a MiFi.
So you want to buy a new Audi?
Well, yeah, actually, that's kind of what it comes down to.
Because Audi will do that for you.
Yeah, I want some sort of proper data connection in an improper way, maybe.
If it ends up being a SIM-based thing, then I mean those ODB2 hotspots, that's like exactly what those do, and they're really nice. I teased you and said that Verizon does that, but I mean like the ODB2 hotspots, they really do. They just plug into that data port. They give you some neat car stuff if you're interested in the car stuff, but I mean their secondary thing is when the car is on, it's a hotspot for whatever SIM card you shove into it.
I need to look because I've switched back to the GS5 because I want to carry that around. I want to use it. I want the camera's great.
The GS6,
Sorry. So I've left the M9 has basically been riding in my car to work and home and back and whatever. So I'm kind of curious to see what happens with the data usage there. And will give me a good chance to see just how much I'm using when I'm bouncing around on Android Auto and mostly using maps. Not a whole lot of music because the music experience to me, I don't know. It's just I'm not crazy about it for some reason. I also don't drive enough as part of the problem. And Pocket Cast is kind of weird. I can't get StarTalk to show any of the episodes. I've got to figure that out. And I got to play with some more apps. But yeah. So it'll be interesting. I don't know. I don't know. What am I most looking forward to? Somebody else had an Android Wear question. I think we're going to get a big update there. I hope. And hopefully Android TV too.
And hopefully new Wear hardware along with that because a little bit.
I mean, the one thing Huawei did not talk about at all at the event last week was the Huawei Watch, right? It's still, as far as we know, it's in development. It's coming some point in the summer. They're just finalizing their hardware. Everyone's excited about it, but that appeared at MWC. There's been no development on that just yet, and it could be the right time for that to make an appearance, maybe alongside this rumored new 360, if that's happening. Well,
and that would make sense, because I've been hearing Huawei Watch, Huawei Nexus. That Huawei Nexus that people keep thinking about could very well be a watch built with Android Wear, and Google's going to show it off.
I think, I'm not expecting a Huawei Nexus phone. I think people could just be getting confused about the watch, or I think Huawei could potentially make quite a nice, cheap Nexus 7 replacement for Google later in the year. We'll see.
Would it be a phone or a tablet?
I would say a tablet.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about the Max anymore.
We didn't. I just got
Huawei just keeps making gigantic phones.
So what was the thing they announced at MWC? Because they had another
Did a MediaPad X1 and a MediaPad X2 the next year, and they were both, I think, 6.
It's huge.
Yeah. Now they went 6.8 inches.
Yeah, so they've taken the design of the P8 and just upscaled it massively to a 6.8 inch screen. Same 1080p res, same internals, giant battery. I think they're talking about 2.5 days moderate use out of this thing. So essentially it's just a 3G tablet, except with the bezels that you would expect from a phone, so you can kind of maybe fit it in your back pocket.
It doesn't make it a great tablet because it's harder to hold on to?
I didn't spend a whole lot of time with it. There are compromises in both directions, right? That's probably what you have to come away with. I mean, supposedly it's coming to the UK. We'll see if it sees a wide release. Probably not. It's more likely the kind of thing you would pick up on Amazon maybe for a few hundred in a few months' time. I mean, the hardware is nice. It's fundamentally just the same as this, but bigger. But then, the question is just the size of the damn thing. It's going to be awkward to use and probably not as good a tablet, like Andrew was saying, as a dedicated, 7, 8, 9-inch tablet.
And then, you have to fit it in a pants pocket at some point, and I just don't feel like that's going to happen very easily.
Probably not.
There's one from, actually, a couple more G4 questions. One from, hope I say it right, Kapil? How good or bad is the laser focus technology of the G3, and are we going to see it in the G4? I mean, it's always kind of felt like it. I love that sound I was making. Right. I don't know. It always just kind of seemed like it focused to me.
Yeah, it works as advertised. The main advantage of that over contrast detection or whatever you would normally use is it works really well at night.
Right. Take a. I was playing with it with a white softball against a white wall, and comparing it to other phones, and the G3 would lock right on with the little laser dealy.
Yeah, same thing with the G-Flex.
Sorry.
Oh, God.
Yep. I was just saying, you pick up any $95 point-and-shoot camera, it does the same thing.
It just
flashes a laser, you know, at the point, so it has something that it can focus on.
Right, and that's important. This is new to smartphones, but this is not new technology. This is proven tech.
Yeah, and they were actually, when they first unveiled this, they were talking about how it was adapted from the distance or depth sensors that they have in their vacuum cleaner robots.
Hmm.
And they kind of backported that to a smartphone. And they've been working on it since. The G-Flex 2 has a more up-to-date version of that that's a little bit faster, and presumably the G4, which we know from that leak, also has the same laser stuff. Maybe it'll be even faster then. One of the teasers on that site was the world's fastest autofocus, so presumably they've been testing that against the GS6.
I just hope this year we can overclock the processor and I can shoot squirrels with the laser.
Ryan wants to know, is this going to be real leather on the G4, or is it going to be like faux leather on the Moto X?
Vegetable tanned leather, I believe, is the...
So vegetable tanned.
Yeah. Or, sorry, faux leather, like the Galaxy Note, which
cucumber
really...
Cucumber has been rubbed on cows for hours.
I mean, the Note 4 is not faux leather, it's just plastic stamped with a leather stitching pattern on it. That's a little different. I mean, if you look at the S-View flip covers for the Note 4 and the S6, that's faux leather that actually is meant to feel and act like leather.
And feels pretty nice, actually. I like that case.
We just don't know. You know, presumably, they're talking about real leather here, if they're talking about vegetable tanning.
Yeah, and there's been enough... the leather is featured prominently enough in the teasers for this thing that it has to be actual real leather, or, you know, what are they doing?
Or at least real vegetables.
You would hope at least one of them.
It's interesting because they're showing this off like front and center with the leather, and then, oh, there are also plastic ones over here. Motorola kind of did, hey, they come in all these cool earthy tone plastics, and then there's also the wooden leather options. So it'll be interesting to see what ones are, you know, more readily available when it launches.
That's the big question, right? Because I could totally see them doing, here's this awesome leather back, and the carriers be like, hi, would you like black or white plastic?
And how about a red leather or a football one like Verizon?
Yeah, at least in that case, you know, it's removable. You should be able to at least import one from Korea, if nothing else, and just be able to bypass all that nonsense.
You better believe I will, too. Back one.
I don't know if you open the leather and look behind it, will it have little googly eyes?
That would be, don't make fun of the Akka.
No, dude.
I call it the Akka.
I wish they sold those with American bands on them, because you know I'd use them.
I really do. If you haven't seen it, it started out as a Korean phone and expanded in Asia, and it's got these eyes, and the case, it's got a plastic case that covers the front, but it
the
doesn't
phone
cover
has
it.
A personality.
Yeah, so these eyes show up like when you pick it up and you do things and you play music, and suddenly it has headphones on, and it's cute as hell.
You stick some eyes on the back of your Nexus 5, Jerry. Pretty much the same thing.
Those kinds that move when you shake them around.
Yep.
Dude, I'm going to Amazon right now.
You can get them on Amazon big enough to put on trees. Those googly eyes. I almost got them.
Yeah, you see them around the city here every once in a while. Put them on trash cans and stuff and make them look like people.
So what do you guys think of the stitching has been kind of controversial on the G4?
I think it's leather, but it still has
the stitch right down the middle.
It's where you rest your finger. One of my favorite things about the first Moto X was that dimple right where my finger rested. It was perfect. And with the G Flex 2 and the G3, I end up resting my finger on that volume down button, which also ends up being like a quick toggle for something, and I keep messing up and setting stuff off. So I'm actually kind of excited about the stitching. It's gotten some flack for being kind of ugly, but I feel like it would be a logical place to rest my finger.
That's one of those things that people freak out about until they use it. And if it turns out to be good, and I haven't seen it or used it, so I really can't say that yet. But if it turns out to be good, it'll be one of those things that, you know, people complain about because they haven't seen it, and then you get it.
We'll see what colors they offer and how it really feels. I mean, right now, the light brown one they're showing off kind of looks like a cheap baseball mitt, and I just don't think that that's a very classy look for that phone.
Yeah, the black is nicer looking. I think they had a few of the lighter colors as well. So we'll see.
Leather phones. It's a thing, I guess.
My googly eyes will be here tomorrow.
God bless Amazon.
Every single phone review now from Jerry's got little googly eyes stuck on the corner of it.
It should. It, just like one picture, sneak it in there.
The googly eyes with a rubber hand as well. Yeah. Have we talked about Jerry's rubber hand on this podcast yet? Yeah,
it's been a long time since we did, I think. Jerry was trying to think. Was it for the watches, Jerry, or was it
yeah,
something
else? Yeah. They said lifelike in the description.
But it was like a $3 rubber hand.
It was so bad. It's better than what Russell's been hiding in pictures, but...
Well, Jerry, I
wouldn't say hiding.
Well, that's true.
It's displayed prominently in the background with some blurring.
All right, with that, I think I'm going to end it. I think we are done.
I don't think anybody's even brought it up. Like, no commenters have been like, hey.
La, 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 la. I don't know what Russell did, but...
Dozens of people are going to scour Android Central this weekend and search for what Russell did in his pictures. There's four of them, I'll tell you that.
All right, so we are fast getting into the GSX and breaking down all the features and all that stuff. I think we're kind of winding up. The M9 a little bit and almost done with those. Anything weird coming up in the next week? We don't have any events next week.
No,
G4 is the week after that.
Should have a review of this guy, assuming nothing, until what happens with the software between now and then. So keep an eye out for that.
Not like it's going to get worse, right?
Hopefully.
Well,
I'm going to talk about weirdly stupid smart locks.
Yes, you are.
Oh, jeez.
Actually, I'm looking forward to that one.
I was annoyed for you.
Yeah.
Locks with in-app purchases. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow. All right. Well, as we are every week, we're brought to you by shopandroid.com. Go buy things. Lots of things.
Can't buy connected smart locks with in-app purchases, but...
That's doing. That's a feature, not a bug. Hey. So, with that, Russell, Alex, Andrew, everybody at home, everybody watching live, thank you. See you next week.
See
you later.
Bye-bye.
Adios.